This is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Did you know that sneezing the wrong way could cause serious injuries to your neck, back, and trachea? With flu season upon us, we will discuss the proper way to sneeze. Also, people are avoiding pasteurized milk and opting for raw cow's milk instead. Is it safe? We'll share some potentially fatal risks that you need to know. Also, we're going to be chatting about coffee enemas. They are touted as being a treatment for depression, autoimmune disease, allergies, and even cancer. Celebrities like Gwyneth Paltrow, Madonna, and Suzanne Somers advocate them. But are they safe? Kim and I will discuss these topics and more. Don't go anywhere. It all starts now.
It's time for Chew on This, your health and wellness headlines and media propaganda report with Dr. David Friedman and Miss Tell It Like It Is, the author of the Skinny Bitch book series, Kim Barr-Nguyen.
As the nation endures one of the biggest flu epidemics in decades, our first headline is nothing to sneeze at. According to the British Medical Journal last week, a man who held his sneeze in suffered a serious neck injury and a perforated trachea. He was hospitalized for 2 weeks. A sneeze produces pressurized air that can explode at speeds of 100 miles per hour. In my office, I've actually seen patients come in with cracked ribs, debilitating headaches, and herniated discs after they sneezed. Kim, do you politely hold in your sneeze or do you loudly let them out?
You know, I have been guilty of trying to hold it in at, you know, because I didn't want to sneeze at an inappropriate time. And you know what? It's not good. Like, I completely understand why this is bad for you. I've had my ears blocked for a while and just, you know, some pain in the back because of, you know, muscle soreness. You realize that, I mean, I had no idea that the sneeze can travel anywhere from like a minimum of 100 miles an hour. So you think that air has to go somewhere. So I'm really careful about letting that all go, you know, where it needs to go, in my arm, in the crook
right.
of my arm.
Right. Here's one of my big pet peeves. When someone is sitting next to you, Kim, and they sneeze, they put their hands in front of their mouths. This to me makes no sense because that doesn't stop the sneeze splatter from flying out of the sides of their mouth and hitting the person sitting next to them.
Exactly, right? Especially traveling at 100 miles an hour.
Exactly. Yeah, and the best way to sneeze is actually you place your mouth about an inch from your forearm, right where your elbow bends, and this will block the germs from all angles. So don't put your hand in front of your mouth and sneeze. It hits the people next to you.
Right. It's got to go somewhere. It's going to hit those people. Right. And, you know, the thing is that your body is trying to, your nose is trying to rid itself of something. There could be, you know, irritants or, you know, a virus or something that there's a reason for a sneeze. So obviously, let it out. Let it do its thing. Get out of your body. But it's really dangerous. So, and you know what? It's true. Like, I don't like being out in public, especially now when you were talking about how the flu season is just so horrendous this year. It just makes me, you know, uneasy being around people that are just openly sneezing. Some people don't even cover their mouths. And that's horrible when you think of all those particles in the air just getting everybody else sick around them.
Yeah, you know, since it is flu season, I want to also mention if somebody sneezes near you, you know what most people do, we instinctively hold our breath to avoid breathing in the particles. However, that's actually not the best way to protect yourself from getting sick. Most airborne infections get into your system from the eyes. See, your mouth and nose have immune protectors. Your salivary gland produces IgA antibodies, which helps destroy dangerous germs. Your tonsils also act as a buffer. Your nose actually contains T-cell sentinels, which helps prevent pathogens from spreading to the lungs, and you've got tiny hairs that filter out the germs, and of course that's why you get boogers. However, your eyes offer very little protection. So in the corner of your eyelid, there's those little tiny pinholes called the puncta. Kim, have you ever pulled your eyelid back and seen yours? It's a little pinhole in the center. It's right close to the eye on the nose.
Yep.
You've seen that,
yep,
right?
Exactly.
That little hole acts as a vacuum cleaner, so which is why when you cry, you know how your nasal cavity fills up with fluid if you're watching your Hallmark specials, Kim, and you start to get,
exactly.
Right? Well, what it is that suction pulls the tears back into your system. So when somebody sneezes, those particles hit your eyes, those germs get absorbed immediately into your system. So that said, if somebody around you sneezes, in addition to holding your breath, close your eyes. That's where you're going to get sick.
That is amazing. I never knew that. And sneezes can project, you know, little particles 10 to 12 feet. So when you hear, as soon as you hear that sneeze, I'm closing my eyes. I never knew that. So that's such a good thing to know, because you instinctively don't want to breathe it in. Obviously, that's not anything to worry about.
Right. And they fly 10 to 12 feet, like you said. Guess how long it actually floats in the air? How long do sneeze particles stay airborne? You know, take a guess.
I have a bad feeling that it's a long time, like a half an hour or something like that.
Yeah, it's 45 minutes to 1 hour, those stuff float in the air. And so sometimes, you know, germs are in that room after the person's left the building. So that's why I guess hospitals are where people have been coughing and sneezing. It's, you know, it's tough because what are you going to do? It's all in the room. So even if after they've left. So that's great. Hey, Kim, do you remember when we watched cartoons as a kid to stop from sneezing, characters would put their index finger against their upper lip? Do you remember that? And it would stop them from sneezing?
Absolutely.
That actually works. It's a pressure point that can short circuit the signals to the brain sending through the facial nerves. So when you apply pressure to the nerves above your top lip, it deactivates the stimulus and keeps you from sneezing. So if you'd rather not sneeze in public, folks, and infect people, try that technique. Put that pressure above your upper lip, and that'll stop you from sneezing. And that way you don't have to hold in a sneeze and risk all the injury.
Okay, that's a good tip. I like that. Close your eyes and then cover your upper lip.
Exactly. Nice. Yeah. And one thing, if you sneeze, Kim, it's best to put your back against the chair, or if you're standing, go against the wall. It'll keep your back from hurting, especially the chew part, because that's when you'd instinctively bend forward. And that's where I've seen my patients come in. Because remember, it's 100 mile per hour pressure. So sneeze with your back against the chair or against the wall or a tree, wherever you can. Don't bend forward.
More with Dr. David Friedman coming up. But first, I want to tell you about Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Yes, I'm not kidding. This is really cool. Health IQ can save you up to 33% because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. And these savings are exclusive to Health IQ. Now, you have to qualify by taking a Health IQ quiz or other lifestyle quizzes like the cycling IQ or running IQ quiz. And you can also get additional savings by submitting actual data such as race results from a 5K that you've run. And Health IQ doesn't just take this info and pass it on to an insurer. They are with you every step of the way, from interest to application through underwriting to the final policy enforcement. It's pretty cool. Now, by being healthy, you not only live a better life, but now you can also pay less for your life insurance. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/goodhealth or mention the promo code goodhealth when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Once again, check it out at healthiq.com/goodhealth. Now back to Dr. David Friedman.
Our next headline comes from Forbes magazine. If you drank raw cow's milk, the Center for Disease Control says you need to see a doctor. They were especially concerned that people who bought raw milk from a company called Utter Milk could be infected with a serious germ called Brucella abortus. They issued a national warning when a New Jersey woman became ill after drinking raw milk from the company. The infection can destroy the spleen, liver, and heart valves and eventually lead to death. Now, Kim, you and I are not fans of anyone drinking pasteurized cow's milk at the grocery store, but drinking raw milk can be utterly risky, and pun is intended. Share your opinion.
Yeah, this is just not anything that, you know, people need to take lightly. I mean, there's a reason that milk is pasteurized. You know, it's killing the harmful bacteria, and, you know, it can have dangerous bacteria like Salmonella, E. coli, Listeria, especially, you know, people that have weakened immune systems, or, you know, elderly or young kids. It's really, really dangerous. They say it's like 150 times more likely to cause a foodborne illness than pasteurized milk. So this is something definitely to avoid.
Definitely. And I know you and me can do a 2-hour show just on dairy. There's so much evidence proving cow's milk is not healthy for humans. And contrary to all those milk mustache ads, folks, milk does not build strong bones. In fact, so much research out there shows milk is a contributing factor to the cause of brittle bones. And, you know, Kim, children, just like when you and me were child, they still teach children to grow up big and strong. They need to drink milk. Yet children that drink milk get more chronic ear infections, have more allergies, and are more likely to be overweight, and of course they're a greater risk of diabetes, all those negatives, but they're still told to drink it.
Right, exactly. And I was one of those kids. I mean, I had ear infection after ear infection, and my mom just, you know, but that's all they knew, you know, follow what the doctor says, drink a lot of milk. And I definitely had a lot of side effects as a kid from that. And, you know, it's the pasteurization process. It's like, well, they heat it to about 160 degrees literally 20 seconds. It's a very quick process. So if you're going to continue to drink milk, at least, you know, stay away from the raw milk. You know, that's the last thing you need is dangerous bacteria in your system. But it's just kind of disgusting when you think about, you know, the process of milking the cow. You know, we've talked about, you know, this I talked about in my book, you know, the factory farming. It's all about, you know, quick, getting as much as you can from an animal as fast as you can. The udders are raw and sore, and there's so many disgusting things that go into that milk. So I just, you know, think about that, get a visualization before you maybe reach for the raw milk.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of listeners hearing us right now are thinking, well, what are they talking about? How am I supposed to get calcium to build strong bones? But let me stand on my soapbox for 1 minute and set the record straight. The milk you get at the grocery store, as Kim mentioned, is pasteurized. It's heated, and that does kill some of the bacteria, which is important. But it also destroys the usable calcium that's in that milk. So some people are turning to local farmers and producers for raw, unpasteurized milk. That's still a lousy source of calcium. So you need to get a proper balance of calcium and magnesium for strong bones, and the calcium to magnesium ratio in cow's milk is 9-1. That's 90% calcium, 10% magnesium. Most experts recommend having a ratio of 2 parts calcium and 1 part magnesium, and now some studies show, Kim, 1-1 ratio is better. Here's the kicker. When you look at plants, you can attain the perfect balance ratio of calcium and magnesium. Sources like almonds, squash, sesame seeds, and spinach offer almost a perfect 1-1 ratio of calcium to magnesium. So that's what you need to reach for if you want your calcium. So you reach for plants, which, Kim, that's what cows eat for their strong bones.
Exactly. And look how big they are, big and strong. They're huge. And, yep, that's exactly what they're eating, plants. And, you know, there's so many, you know, other alternatives to dairy products. I mean, you know, there's almond milk. There's any kind of milk alternative out there that you could possibly think of. So it's not like there's a shortage of alternatives.
Yeah, and a big one now is cashew milk is coming really popular on the market. It's one of my favorites. It's great for cereal or most recipes that require milk. So there's so many alternatives. You got hemp milk. You don't need, back in the day, you know, 10, 20 years ago when we were still preaching not to drink cow's milk, there wasn't any alternatives except soy. Now there's so many healthier alternatives out there, so there's no choice. I mean, there's no reason not to go with the good stuff. And I do want to mention, the, you know, that milk is the most common allergy affecting 8 out of 10 adults. And a major reason why our bodies reject cow's milk is something we want to bring up. It's casein, which is the protein that's in milk, and it's used to make glue to hold together wood. Now, think of the cow logo on Elmer's glue, and it's also a polymer used in plastics. So when you ingest casein, that's the glue-like substance in milk, your body attacks it by producing histamines, which causes mucus production. As Kim said, she got ear infections. It can lead bronchitis, asthma, sinus, you name it, irritable bowel syndrome, diarrhea, the list goes on and on. So I always tell people, casein is what makes a 100-pound baby calf grow into a 2,000-pound cow. The average human being weighs 8 pounds and grows into a 170-pound adult. So, Kim, here's the common question I always ask. Would you use rocket fuel in gas tank for your moped? No. Why would you park a gantrian-sized cow fuel inside a human body?
Exactly. Oh, exactly right. You know, and like you said, you know, there's so many alternatives that there's, we don't have any excuses anymore. And there's the benefits of, you know, having an alternative milk, you know, is you can't even taste the difference to me. There's just, it's so much fun trying different brands now, but it's so much better for you health-wise.
It really is. And I'll tell you, the one thing I tell my patients is to get off dairy, and within 3-4 weeks, their life changes, Kim. Whether it's their chronic sinus or there's asthma, bronchitis, it improves with every case. If they're a big milk drinker, that's the one thing. And they go, what? I got to get off my morning milk that I drink? I said, yeah, but not milk, just cow's milk. You can do the nut milks are excellent for you, even coconut milk. You got a lot of good alternatives.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So. Yeah. And, you know, my son has never, ever had regular milk. Just, I mean, when he was born, you know, that's what I had in the, after breastfeeding, that's what we drank was almond milk. You know, when he got older, we put it in his cereal, and he cannot even handle regular milk because he's just never had it. He's always had almond milk and all, you know, cashew milk. He loves it too. So there's so many alternatives out there that, you know, even kids can enjoy. You know, it's so nice to know that, I mean, he just didn't have a lot of the colds and any allergies, just, you know, stomach issues. He just didn't have to worry about that because, you know, it wasn't an issue in our house. So I'm happy that, you know, ear infection thing wasn't in our daily routine because of the milk alternatives we were drinking.
Definitely. And you and I brought up in both of our books that milk contains pus. So got pus, it does a body bad. Yes, there's actually pus in milk. So, I mean, it's exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Our next topic is coffee enemas. They've actually become the latest trend for good health and well-being after actress Gwyneth Paltrow featured it as a home device in her wellness magazine Goop. Many other celebrities have embraced coffee enemas for good health, including Madonna, Suzanne Somers, and a few others. In case you haven't heard of coffee enemas, it's a type of cleanse in which you insert coffee through the rectum into the colon. It's been used as a remedy for everything from depression, autoimmune disease, allergies, even cancer. Kim, what's your opinion on going to Starbucks for a morning crappuccino?
Yeah, I am staying as far away from this as possible. Yeah, I'm just not fond of anything in that general area that I could be drinking for, you know, the health benefits. Because, you know, scientific research has actually, you know, tried to do studies on this, and there is actually absolutely no difference between drinking a cup of coffee versus a coffee enema. Researchers cannot find any health benefits that are going to go in the favor of the coffee enema. So, and there's a lot of danger that can come of it. You know, what if you're not going to someone who can properly do this, or if you're doing it at home, you don't know what you're doing. It can really, you could burn yourself. There's infection. There's a lot of things that could go wrong.
Yeah, and you know, that's important for people to know before you start shooting Folgers up your rectum. Keep that in mind. I mean, there's risk. You get, as Kim mentioned, rectal burns, infection. You can actually get perforations as well, and you can get what's called proctocolitis, which is inflammation of the rectum and colon. And Kim, there's actually been a few people that have died after doing a coffee enema. So that's one killer cup of coffee.
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah, you know, there's just a lot of things wrong with that. And I understand the point behind it, and I'm all about alternative healing, but that just doesn't interest me at all. And I think, you know, obviously, you know, we want to keep our body cleansed, but I think there's lots of other ways to go about doing it. And, you know, making sure you have a high fiber diet, if that's, you know, an issue, then maybe look into other things. But you know, Gwyneth Paltrow has gotten a lot of heat for her website and a lot of the things that Goop has recommended. So I just think maybe listening to what they say, you know, talk to your doctor, take it with a grain of salt, do your research, you know, make sure you know what you're getting into before you try all these crazy fad experiments.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I have talked about the plethora of science out there showing the health benefits of drinking coffee. But unfortunately, as you mentioned, there's no scientific evidence showing the health benefits of putting it up your rectum. It's weird to say that. I just can't say that with a straight face. It just sounds so odd.
Yeah.
What's next? You know, put a Coke up your rear end? I mean, are you going to stop at coffee? or how about this, Kim? How about a 7-Up? 7-Up up your rectum. 7 days a week. It's 7-Up for good health.
There you go.
I did find one study. I searched too. It was the University of Minnesota that found coffee enemas can help the liver stimulate the production of a beneficial amino acid called glutathione, which helps lower inflammation. However, you can take a supplement for that without all the mess of shoving the coffee up your rectum. So again,
I would be in favor of that. Yes, I like supplements. supplements better than the alternative.
Exactly. So, you know, it's not something I would personally add to my wellness regimen. You know, like Kim mentioned, there's better ways to improve health of your colon and improve the bowel movements. Green leafy vegetables, fiber, you know. And actually, the number one remedy for constipation is stay hydrated, or should say the number two remedy. That makes more sense.
Right.
Yeah, you know, most people that don't have healthy bowel movements, you just don't drink enough water. So increase your water content. It makes a big difference. And what's the rule of thumb? Half your body weight in ounces. So if you weigh 120 pounds, that's 60 ounces a day of water that you should bring into your system. So that's just the rule of thumb there. You'll be amazed at how regular you become just by doing that. And you don't have to worry about the burns of the crappuccino.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly, right? I like the whole Folger comment too. That was good. Right. So just keep it for the cup and the coffee pot, then, you know, the other area. And I think you'll be good to go.
Yeah. I mean, if this catches on, you know, the K cups will just, you have a button and it inserts it right up your rear end. You don't even have to put it in a glass. I don't know. My brain's thinking this is going to go
further. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The possibilities are endless there.
Oh, I love the pun. Endless. You're good.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's great. Hey, we have time for a question from a listener. This one is from Barbara Nevins from Smyrna, Georgia. Dear Kim and Dr. Freeman, I've eaten oatmeal all my life, but I've read recently that oats are bad for me. What gives? Kim, are you on the anti-oats wagon?
No, I love my oatmeal. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's so like great in the morning, and you know, there's so many things you can put in it. You know, fruit and nuts, and oh my gosh. So I'm on the bandwagon to keep the oats. How about you?
Yeah, you know, my grandma used to make a delicious bowl of oatmeal and told me how healthy it was for me. And, you know, for decades, science proved my grandma was right. Oats can help lower cholesterol, balance blood sugar, reduce the risk of heart attacks. That all changed when the paleo diet came out telling us that all grains are unhealthy. And since, quote, our caveman ancestors didn't eat them, we shouldn't either. And in my upcoming book, Food Sanity, I explore the forensic evidence on what our ancestors really ate. Spoiler alert, their diet included grains, folks. So I am a big fan of organic steel-cut oatmeal, also known as Irish oatmeal. Instant oats, they're overly processed. They're pre-cooked, dried, rolled, then they're toasted. Steel-cut oats, because they're the closest to the original grain form, they're the healthier option. As Kim mentioned, you can put nuts in there, raisins, a little bit of honey in there. There's so many options that you could do. So, yeah, it's bothering me, Kim, that oats and grains are being considered Satan when it comes to food.
I know, right? And I, you know, again, it's another diet craze that's come along and, you know, made everyone stop what they're doing and, you know, change their diet. But, you know, I think, you know, our parents, they knew what they were doing. I think that's such a great way to start your day. You know, there's fiber. It does help with cholesterol, like you were saying. And I just think it's something that we got to keep on that grocery list.
It's funny. And then, you know, next year it'll be, you know, the oat diet. Now oats will be popular. Really, it just goes like a roller coaster, doesn't it? It's good.
It does. It really does. You never know what's going to change in, you know, a couple months.
You never know. Butter was bad, then it was good, then it was really bad and caused high cholesterol and heart attack. And now people are putting it in their coffee, hopefully not up their butts, but putting it in their coffee to help lose weight. That's the latest craze. Uh-oh. Shouldn't have said something. They're going to have butter. Butter enemas. Butter enemas.
Yeah, there you go. You just started a new craze.
So, hey, at least it'll go in easier.
Butter tends to
be a little slippery. This is crazy. Sounds great. Well, fantastic. Wow, some great topics to chew on there. And hopefully, you know, you learned something today and just enjoy your cup of coffee from your mouth and not the other end. And that concludes another edition of Chew On This. And of course, we are your dynamic duo of due diligence. We're here to help you digest the latest headlines. If you see a story that you would like Kim or I to feature on the show, you can send it to us at chewonthis@toyourgoodhealthradio.com. If you heard something today that you want to share with somebody, send them a link to our podcast available at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Share these segments with friends, family, coworkers, and social media. Share this stuff. I'll tell you, it's just too important to keep to yourself. You can also subscribe to our Chew On This podcast at iHeartRadio and iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.